from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
David was ready to do whatever it took. Let me ask you this. Do you need a miracle in your marriage? Then do everything you can. You want your marriage good?
Yeah.
Well, go to counseling.
Oh, I don't want to go.
Then you don't want your marriage to overcome. Need a miracle in your finances?
Yeah.
Go to financial counseling. Get some help.
Oh, no.
If you want a miracle, if you're going to prepare for a miracle, you got to do everything you can, whatever it takes.
Throughout the Bible, we see countless stories of God doing incredible miracles in people's lives. And we may be tempted to wonder why we don't see more of the miraculous in our day and age. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to take us through the story of David, and we'll see that God did some awesome miracles in his life. But David didn't just sit around waiting for it to happen. He did his part in preparing for the miraculous. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Starting Points of the Miraculous.
Today we're going to talk about David. David was known for his run-in with a giant, because you'll always hear about David and Goliath, where he, without a sword, without a spear, just a sling and a stone, and the power of God, went up against a giant. He didn't have any other weapon, didn't have a rifle, didn't have a bazooka. He went against him, and God brought a miracle to bear, and it changed the future of Israel forever. By the way, how many of you could use two or three miracles? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many would take a dozen? Yeah, I think I would too. Miracles come packaged in different ways. And sometimes we look at the Bible and we say, why in the world do miracles happen so much, so plentiful in the Bible, and it seems to be so rare today? Why? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but before we do, let's take a look at the scripture at the top of our notes and see what takes place when David has a miracle and it starts something great. Let's read it. Go. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. A miracle takes place. But why in the world are miracles often so plenteous in certain people's lives, like David or Abraham or Moses, and not so much so today? What is it that we can learn from these people? Do miracles happen today? Well, why don't we see them as much? Well, maybe one of the reasons is we define miracles incorrectly. Sometimes we think it just happens, just like a good luck, it's a Christian's good luck charm. Maybe we think that a miracle just happens out of the blue. It does sometimes, but not always. Maybe it has just nothing to do with us. Maybe it does. Maybe it has more to do with us than we realize. Today I want to talk about preparing for the miraculous. If you take a look at some of the miracles that took place in the New Testament, for example, in the book of Luke, Luke 8, a woman that reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Remember that? Edge of his robe. And all of a sudden, a miracle took place. And we think, hoo-hoo, a miracle. But what you don't realize is that she was sick for 12 years. She had been going to doctor after doctor and not getting any better, but actually getting worse. Do you understand? I bet how many nights she prayed and fasted and asked God and cried out to God. She sought the Lord, asked and pleaded, and then heard that Jesus was coming to town, had to plan her day so that she would be on the side of that parade when he came down to touch his garment. She had prepared for the miraculous. It's in the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 2, when there was a man that was a paralytic, he was carried by his friends up to the top, rooftop, down through the roof, click, click, click. And he's there before Jesus, and Jesus heals this man who was a paralytic. Now we say, miracle. What you don't see, though, are the years before when this man was paralyzed, how many times he must have cried out to God, and how his friends said, Jesus is coming to town. He's going to be at this house. And they had to prepare to take this guy, climb him up. I don't know about climb him up, but put him up on the roof. Do you know how hard it must be to get a paralytic on the roof? Then they had to break the roof open, and then they let him down. We see the miracle. But what you don't know is he had prepared for the miraculous. And we look also in the book of Luke again, where a man named Bartimaeus, a blind man, is healed. As is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. And he was healed, a miracle. But what we don't know is for years this man was blind. And how he must have prayed, found his way, groped his way, had someone help him to find his way to where Jesus would be coming so he could cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people next to him said, be quiet. In fact, the Bible says, and he cried out all the more. Jesus, Son of David. You see, he was doing everything he could to overcome anything he could in order that he would have a miracle. Maybe. A miracle has more to do with us than we realize. Because you see, it could be like a hopeful athlete that wants the miracle of, oh man, just to be drafted into the NFL. But if he's not prepared for that, what if he's sitting on a couch eating Twinkies and playing video games every day? I don't think that would happen, the miracle. Or a student saying, God, I need money, give me financial aid, but never fills out an application. Just do a miracle. That just doesn't happen. Or the paralytic just happens out of the blue. His friends are having Mai Tais under a coconut tree and boom, his friend gets healed. Oh, wow, praise the Lord. Now, I bet we have more to do with this than we realize. I bet part of the miraculous is our involvement in preparing for a miracle. Because part of it, like with David, he said, well, he just hit that Philistine in the forehead with a rock. I bet for years he was on the backside of the desert winging on trees and on targets and breaking off branches with those stones. He was prepared so that when God said, I need you with this giant, although God moved in a great way, David had prepared for the miraculous. He wasn't sitting there playing video games. He was tending his sheep. He was doing what his father had told him. He had prepared for the miraculous. And you think, it explains that. Walter Payton, one of the greatest running backs of all time, in an interview, was asked by the interviewer, Walter Payton, you just have a gift. I mean, you catch the ball, you bounce back up, you run, you make touchdowns. You're fantastic. It's just a gift, isn't it? He said, it might be, but every morning when I get up, I do 250 push-ups and 1,000 sit-ups. Every day. Oh, so it just doesn't happen. Yeah, he was prepared for the challenges that were coming his way. You think, maybe. You take a look at Moses. You take a look at David. You take a look at Abraham or Gideon. All of them were not slouches. They needed the miraculous to take place, and they prepared for the miraculous. Some of that might even be explainable. Ah, that's why God chose him. That's why. Stories told of this doctor that was an arthritis doctor, and it was well known that he was world renowned in his ability to help people with arthritis. And it was shown and illustrated in the fact that his waiting room was always constantly packed with people. And one lady was in there a bit ambivalent, not sure whether she should go in there or not because she had some arthritis, and she was just watching people go in. And there was this old man crouched, bent over with a cane, and she watched him come through the waiting room, walked into the doctor's office, and within 15 minutes, he came out, not bent over, but standing erect, walking. And she said, it's a miracle! It's a miracle! She said, what did the doctor do to you within 15 minutes to take you from a bent, stooped over position to tall and erect? The guy looked at her and said, he gave me a longer cane. Sometimes it's a bit explainable, you know? But the way we define the miraculous, it's not just luck. I was told of an NBA basketball player that was being interviewed, and the interviewer said, "Man, you're just so good sometimes, you're in a zone. Everything you throw up goes in." I mean, don't you just chalk some of that up to just luck? And he smiled and looked back at the interviewer and said, "Yeah, well, all I know is that the more I practice, the luckier I get." Preparing for the miraculous. You see, one thing you have to understand, that if you want to see the miraculous, then like David, now we're going to extract some lessons out of David's life so that we can apply it to our own. Because Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what God did, he is still doing. And what God said, he is still saying. The Bible is more current than this morning's newspaper. And so we're going to extract some lessons out of David's life to see how there were such a huge amount of miracles in his life. What was it in his life that we can take as principles, because we need the miraculous so much today? Well, one of the things I want you to write in that first bullet there, I want you to notice with David, is that David was ready to do whatever it took to overcome. David wasn't just sitting in the back of the wilderness. He must have been whirling his slingshot, killing rabbits and squirrels, mongoose. I don't think mongoose were there, but if they were, he was going after everything he could. He was going to do everything he could to overcome. Let me ask you this. Do you need a miracle in your marriage? Then do everything you can to overcome. You want your marriage good?
Yeah.
Well, go to counseling.
Oh, I don't want to go.
Then you don't want your marriage to overcome. Need a miracle in your finances?
Yeah.
Go to financial counseling. Get some help.
Oh, no.
Budget a little bit.
Oh, I've never done that.
Then you really don't want a miracle in your marriage. If you want a miracle, if you're going to prepare for a miracle, you've got to do everything you can, whatever it takes, to overcome. Take a look at David and the two scriptures just before that. When he went to the front lines to go after that giant called Goliath, let's read that those scriptures there, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. He didn't take with him one stone. How many did he take with him? Let's read it. Go. David chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the... Yeah, now why do you think he had 5 stones instead of just one? Because he only used one. I'll tell you why. Because in the next book, in 2 Samuel, you know what I found out? Goliath, the giant of Gath, from the place called Gath, had actually 4 sons. And it was almost as if David was thinking, whatever it takes, if he brings his, this guy's ugly, but if he brings his 4 ugly boys with him, then I better have 5 stones. I mean, take a look at the next verse, you'll see. Read it with me, go. These 4 were born to the giant of Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his, he had 4 sons. So he just figured, I'm going to put 5 in here, because if Goliath comes out and he brings his 4 boys with him, then I'm just not going to have just one rock. I'm going to have 5 rocks, and we're going to have a rock concert. And all of them will have splitting headaches. And so he was going to do whatever it took to overcome. You need a miracle in your life? Do whatever it takes. Here, listen carefully. I want to suggest to you that the miraculous includes our part and portion in it. And if we're not prepared, why should he bring a miracle? Listen carefully. God asks us to do the possible so that he can do the impossible. But if I don't even want to do the possible, why should he do the impossible? Prepare for a miracle. And do whatever it takes. Because see, sometimes we want a miracle just so that we can bail out a little bit more. And the Lord says, no. Because a miracle will be valueless because you'll be in the same place next week. It'll be second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. But if we have a part and portion in this and we're willing to do whatever it takes to do the possible so he can do the impossible, then you're preparing for a miracle. How often we're looking for a way out rather than a way in. Story is told of the two guys, one in a workplace. One guy said, I just want to go home. I don't want to work. Well, if you just go out, then you're not going to get paid. I know, but if the boss sends me home, then I'll get paid. Well, how are you going to do that? He said, watch this. So he climbs up to the rafters and just hangs onto the rafter. And the boss comes in and looks up and he says, what are you doing? What is going on? He said, I'm a light. He said, what? I'm a light. Doctor says, get down. You're neurotic, man. Go home. Go see a doctor. So the guy comes out and he walks by his friend and says, see? Tell you that. So his friend starts packing up his bag and his lunch pail and he starts walking out and the boss says, hey, where are you going? Second guy said, I cannot work without light. A lot of times, we're just looking for a way out. You want a miracle in your marriage? It's going to cost you. So what? Yeah. You see, salvation is free. Everything else costs. I want a good marriage. It'll cost you. I want a deep faith. It'll cost you something. I want to have healthy finances. It'll cost you something. See, God wants us involved so that we'll do whatever it takes so we can do the possible and it releases him to do the impossible. See, a lot of times we don't want to pray. Too much work. We just want the benefits of someone who did. We really don't want to work on our marriage. We just want the results of somebody who did. We don't want to diet and exercise and make sure that we're eating healthy. We just want the body of someone who did. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's not available. If you want a good marriage, it's going to cost you. If you want a marriage that's healthy, it'll cost you. But it's worth it because you're preparing for the miraculous. And David was going to do anything that it took that he could prepare for the miraculous. He said, he did, but he was in the backside of the desert. Mm-hmm. Shepherding the sheep. Mm-hmm. Sounds monotonous, doesn't it? Yeah, and that's just like me. I'm a mother of two preschoolers. It's just pretty monotonous. But David was in the back there practicing, doing whatever it took to keep himself fit and ready. In fact, in Psalm 78 and verse 72, it says, everything God needed to build in David to make him the king of Israel, he found in the backside of the desert. Psalm 78 and verse 72, he took David from the ewes and the suckling lambs to shepherd his people Israel. So David shepherded them, watch this, according to the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. Where do you think he gained integrity of heart and skillful hands? Not when he put the crown on his head. But he was in the backside of the desert. But it's pretty mundane. Mm-hmm. I want you to write down a number one. But often, would you write down, the miraculous is preceded by the mundane. And the miraculous is preceded by the mundane. Why? I'll tell you why. Because in the dailiness over here, when David is taking care of the sheep, running errands for his father, every day it seems monotonous and seems pretty mundane. But God is building something in him, building what he's going to need for the miraculous. He's going to build something deep. What is it? How often in the dailiness of being faithful as a mom? Some of you are a single mom working two jobs. It seems like every day is Groundhog Day. It's the same as yesterday. Some of you are here students. and you're going to school every day and you think, man, this is Groundhog Day. It's the same thing. Some of you dads are trying to get out of debt, and so you're working every single day. It seems pretty monotonous, and you can see it something pretty bad. But God has wrapped into that something of the miraculous. You see, because in the midst of that, God is building perseverance. God is developing in you consistency. God is developing in you a reliability, a dependability, a punctuality. All of those things come when you get this great promotion. No, it happens on the backside of the desert. Let's read the scripture here, what takes place when his father says, hey, I need you to do an errand. Another one? Yep. Let's read it. Go. Jesse said to David, hey, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. Hey, by the way, see how your brothers are getting? Yeah. He said, hey, your brothers are in the army with Saul. They've been fighting these Philistines, but it's at a standstill right now. They've been there for months. Find out how they're doing. Take these pieces of bread and these cheese and go take it to them. Did you know that David was asked to be a cheese deliverer? Doesn't sound very prominent, does it? Quite unspectacular. And I'm sure in the desert sun, it melted the cheese. So that was the Bible's first pizza delivery boy. But he was faithful to be a pizza delivery boy, because in the midst of the mundane, a miracle is about to happen that will change Israel forever. The mundane. Why? When I went to Bible college, I'd just gotten out of a rock group. And I went to this Bible college, and they had a dress code. You had to cut your hair. I thought, oh, I'm cutting my hair. And then they had a curfew. And then they had a class to learn the Dewey Decimal System of a library. Can you believe this? A class to learn the Dewey Decimal System of how a library works. I remember taking that class and I was thinking, this is the stupidest class I've ever taken in my life. And I remember complaining to God one day. After about 4 weeks of this, I said, this is so dumb. Why did you send me here? As a brand new Christian, only about 6 months old in the Lord, why did you send me this place where there's a curfew and a dress code and Dewey Decimal classes? I was grumbling, and I remember God just sort of whispering to my heart. It's almost as if God said to me, hey, Wayne, do you think that before I sent you to this college, do you think that I knew there was a Dewey Decimal System class?
Yeah.
Do you think that I knew that there would be a dress code?
Yeah.
And a curfew?
Yes.
And do you think my goal for you is to learn the Dewey Decimal System? You see, what he was saying was this, in the mundane, as you take these classes and as you submit to the dress code and the curfew, I'm developing in you a dependability, a submission, a spirit of submission, a punctuality, a continuance, a reliability, a personal discipline, a willingness to submit. All of these things I'm going to be able to harvest one day and fashion it into your future, because I know what your future is, and it is what you give me. The ingredients is what I fashion your future out of. But if you are a critic and a pessimist, if you're a cynic and a grumbler, if that's all I can harvest, I don't have any ingredients for the miraculous, for a future that's going to give you a hope. But I'm going to put you into something pretty mundane, because that's the only place that you will develop consistency, endurance, perseverance, patience, submission, reliability, dependability. Do you understand? Now I have the ingredients for a great future. Where do I gather and harvest that? It's not from the top of the mountain. It's from the dailiness of your faithful plodding in obedience, working, walking with, and then I harvest all that I'll need for the miraculous. Prepare for the miraculous.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Starting Points of the Miraculous by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.